Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, September 18th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
the owner of TikTok gains confidence that its tie-up with Oracle will get approved.
Tencent becomes the latest Chinese company to draw U.S. scrutiny.
And Goldman Sachs joins other banks in sending home traders after a COVID case in Manhattan.
New York Mayor de Blasio has delayed the start of in-person learning for all city schools. Plus, an ex-Vice President Pence aide is endorsing Joe Biden. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees keep homering and winning. The season's over for the Islanders, and Justin Thomas leads the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Crises bring out the best in people, character, community, partnership. Together as one, SEI. Go to seic.com/IMS.
And futures are mixed this morning, 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down a point, Dow futures down 48, and NASDAQ futures are up 32. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%, the CAC in Paris down 0.5%, and the FTSE 100 down 0.4%. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 0.67%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.1% or 3 cents at $41 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.6% or $12.20 at $19.62 an ounce. Nathan.
Karen, we begin this morning with several developments in the proposed tie-up between Oracle and TikTok. ByteDance is gaining confidence that Beijing will okay its proposed alliance with Oracle. Sources tell us the Chinese government is likely to greenlight the deal as long as it doesn't involve the transfer of artificial intelligence algorithms. Meanwhile, the new U.S. company formed by the partnership is planning an IPO. Bloomberg's Kurt Wagner says the plan has been tentatively agreed to by the Treasury Department.
It appears that Oracle would be a minority stakeholder in a new entity with ByteDance kind of maintaining majority control. And so the idea being that ByteDance would still kind of own this company, but that Oracle would serve as a U.S. partner to check the code, to have access to the data of U.S. users, and in theory, solve some of the security concerns that President Trump and the White House have.
President Trump says he has spoken with Oracle about the tie-up. Any agreement still needs to be approved by both the president and the Chinese government.
The White House is taking a closer look at investments made by China's Tencent. Bloomberg News has learned the Trump administration is asking U.S. gaming companies to provide information about data security protocols. Bloomberg's Nick Wadham says it's an escalation of the president's fight with Beijing.
There are hawks in this administration who are willing to take this thing absolutely as far as it will go, and they see any situation where companies with apps on U.S. phones, where their U.S. subscribers or use U.S. data, they see that as a major threat.
Epic and Riot Games are among companies being asked about security protocols. Tencent owns Riot and has a 40% stake in Epic.
All right, let's turn now to the coronavirus outbreak, where cases have now topped 30 million worldwide. Joining us live with the very latest is Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And Nathan, Democratic nominee Joe Biden, speaking at a CNN town hall, blasted President Trump's virus response as almost criminal. He was also asked what he'd do differently.
I will make it clear what is needed to be done. I cannot mandate people wearing masks, but we've just been told if we should expect another 215,000 dead by January. But if we wore masks, we'd save 100,000 of those lives, doing nothing but that.
Meantime, makers of the leading vaccine candidates are going public with trial plans. The moves by Moderna and Pfizer come after fears the effort to develop a vaccine is becoming politicized. The drug makers are disclosing information about late-stage trials and how they plan to gauge their shot's safety and effectiveness. The global death toll from the pandemic is approaching 1 million, and the U.S. tops the list with almost 200,000 fatalities. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. As employees return to work on Wall Street, yet another bank is sending some employees back home. The move comes after one positive test for COVID-19. And here with details is Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
Well, this time it's Goldman Sachs, and this follows similar incidents at J.P. Morgan and Barclays in recent weeks. After working from home since March and finally returning to its downtown headquarters this month, Goldman has already sent traders home from that Manhattan building after at least one colleague tested positive. Despite that, the bank is moving forward with plans to start returning more staffers across more divisions, telling some to prepare for weekly rotations in and out of office starting in October. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom, thanks. Well, meantime, the CEO of the world's biggest asset manager is weighing in on the debate about working from home. BlackRock's Larry Fink says he worries that working remotely results in a lack of productivity and collaboration.
The most difficult issue for all of us is retention of a culture. Cultures were not meant to be done in a remote fashion, and culture is what binds and unifies as an organization.
Still, BlackRock isn't planning to push the envelope. The bank said last month it will allow employees to work remotely for the rest of the year.
Reaction is pouring in on New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy and Democratic legislative leaders' decision to raise taxes on millionaires. As a result, Tal Cohen, NASDAQ executive vice president, says the exchange will temporarily move some operations to Chicago.
We have employees that live in New Jersey. We have a data center. We have businesses that are in New Jersey, and so do other exchanges and broker-dealers. But today, with emerging technology like the cloud and other technologies, it's not that difficult to move, but we want to move together.
NASDAQ plans to move its PSX exchange to Chicago the week of October 26. The firm says it allows clients to react quickly if it ends up moving all market center operations to Chicago.
Well, there's more news from the Fed with word that the central bank may extend constraints on bank dividend payments and share buybacks. The Fed says it will decide whether to extend the limits in the next 2 weeks. They were set to expire at the end of this quarter.
And a programming note, please join us later on Bloomberg Surveillance for a talk on the future of central bank policy when we speak with Atlanta Fed President Raphael Bostic. Catch that conversation at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television. S&P futures down about 3 points right now. Dow futures down 66. NASDAQ futures higher, up 29. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr now for more on what's going on around the world. Happy Friday, Michael.
And the same to you, Nathan. Educators at One Queens High School held a rally shouting a message for New York Mayor Bill de Blasio. Teachers vote, stay remote. It comes after a teacher at Benjamin Cardozo High School captured a video of the building with roaches and mice crawling inside. Earlier, Mayor de Blasio says he will delay in-person learning for most of the city schools. It was supposed to start on Monday. Middle and high school students will learn remotely through October 1st. De Blasio says that thousands more educators will be added.
In addition to the 2,000 educators that we announced several days ago, we're going to add 2,500 more. 2,000 originally, 2,500 more. Grand total of 4,500 additional educators being added into our schools and classrooms immediately.
Schools Chancellor Richard Carranza said the city is giving our schools more staff, more time, and more support to have the strongest possible start to the most unprecedented school year. However, many parents are upset about the delays to in-person learning.
It feels like the summer that has just never ended, so I think we've been actually super anxious and excited about going back to school.
The chair of the City Council's Education Committee, Mark Traeger, also criticized the mayor, saying educators once again were caught off guard by yesterday's decision to delay in-person learning. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy and Democratic lawmakers have agreed on a budget deal that will raise taxes on millionaires. The deal will push the tax rate to 10.75% from 8.97% for incomes above $1 million. It also includes a maximum $500 tax rebate for those with at least one child and income below $150,000. Vice President Mike Pence is calling his former Homeland Security advisor a disgruntled employee who has decided to play politics. A recently released video shows Olivia Troy, who was also on the COVID-19 task force, speaking out against President Trump's response to the pandemic, saying he did not take the coronavirus seriously. President Trump responded.
I don't know her. She worked for the vice president. She was on the task force as some kind of a lower-level person. I have no idea who she is.
Troy says she is endorsing Joe Biden for president. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshaw.
Right, good morning, Nathan. A three-game series unlike any other in baseball history. The Yankees swept the Blue Jays. They scored 43 runs. They hit a major league record 19 home runs. Last night they hit six, five in the fourth inning. In fact, five in a span of six batters. A 10-7 win for their eighth win in a row. Luke Voit seemingly homers every night. He's got 20 on the year. DJ LeMahieu for the third straight night. Brett Gardner, Giancarlo Stanton, Gleyber Torres, even Gary Sanchez all left the yard. Another comeback for the Mets. Second straight night in Philadelphia. They trailed 6-3. They won 10-6. The Islanders' best postseason in 27 years came to an end. Two nights after beating Tampa Bay 2-1 in double overtime, the Lightning won 2-1 in overtime. So it'll be Tampa Bay and Dallas for the Stanley Cup. The Miami Heat, seeded fifth in the East, 10-1 in the NBA playoffs, and that only loss was in overtime. Heat beat the Celtics 106-101, lead the East Finals 2-0. NFL, Cleveland over Cincinnati 35-30. To slay a tough golf course, you need confidence you can do it. Here was Justin Thomas before his opening round at the U.S. Open.
I'm not going into this week scared of this of Wingfoot. It is probably the hardest golf course I've ever played, I think. I mean, Oaklawn is very tough, but I think that can get... It's just more the speed of the greens, if anything. But tee to green, the rough, the greens, everything factored in. I think this is the hardest course I played.
Thomas went out and shot 65. He's got a one-shot lead on Patrick Reed, Thomas Peters, and 21-year-old Matthew Wolff. Tiger Woods was even par, but finished bogey, double bogey. Dustin Johnson also three over. John Stanshaw, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Thank you, John. Join us tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show with football in full swing. We thought it'd be a good time to talk with Super Bowl winning coach Brian Billick. So we will do just that tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio. Or you can subscribe to Bloomberg Business of Sports wherever you get your podcasts. S&P futures a little changed right now. Dow futures down 45. NASDAQ futures up 37. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit burdenllp.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe are edging, well, now they're a little changed. They were edging lower earlier in the morning. U.S. stock index futures are mixed, but they're also showing a bit of an improvement as well. Investors settling into a holding pattern of sorts while awaiting new catalysts this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures now higher, up 2.5 points. Dow futures down 27. NASDAQ futures up 49. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 0.68%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 8 cents at $41.05 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.7% or $13 at $1,962.90 an ounce. The euro, 1.1859 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2982. And the yen's at 104.51. And today we are watching for reports on leading indicators out at 10 o'clock Wall Street time, along with consumer sentiment. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The White House is dismissing comments from a former aide who claims in a video that President Trump never took the virus seriously. Vice President Mike Pence called his former COVID task force member Olivia Troy a disgruntled ex-employee. Troy says she's endorsing Joe Biden. A U.S. judge blocked controversial postal service changes that have slowed mail nationwide, calling them a politically motivated attack on the efficiency of the postal service before the November election. In sports, the Islanders are out of the NHL playoffs. New York lost Game 6 to the Lightning 2-1. In the NBA playoffs, the Celtics lost to the Heat. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets won, along with the Red Sox and Giants. The Orioles lost a doubleheader to the Rays. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and the coronavirus certainly has the world's attention now, with more than 30 million cases worldwide, almost a million deaths. The Trump administration is pushing hard now to get a vaccine ready before the election. Joining me now, Bloomberg Intelligence senior pharmaceutical analyst Sam Fazeli. Good to have you back with us, Sam. The president does keep making these lofty promises, hinting that there could be a vaccine ready to go by next month. I mean, is that kind of deadline even possible to meet?
Yeah, well, morning, Nathan. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, politicians have ways of telling views and ideas and thoughts which are easy to kind of say, well, actually, that's not what I meant. Okay. So maybe somebody finishes the last patient in a vaccine trial and says data will come soon, and we say that's a victory. But the reality is this. I know who I believe. I follow the science, and the science is in the heads and hands of people like Professor Fauci and Professor Topol at Scripps. And both of those folks are pretty skeptical of a vaccine readout of any substance much before the end of the year. So I'm going to follow that route rather than anybody who doesn't necessarily or has never ever done science or clinical trials.
Of course, leading vaccine manufacturers now have announced that they're putting out detailed information about their late stage trials, really publicizing what it's going to take to get their vaccines to a level where they do deem them safe and effective. A pretty unprecedented step here. What do you make of it?
Absolutely right. You know, pharma companies, at the pressure of a what used to be a much smaller biotech company a year ago called Moderna, they took the unprecedented step of actually publishing their clinical trial protocol. So then that induced the bigger players to actually do it, which is a bit sad because they should have taken the initiative, given that this has been their life for 50, 100, 150 years. The point is that what we see in there is that there are obviously opportunities for earlier stop of trials. But let me ask you this question, or anybody else who's listening. Would you be comfortable taking a vaccine that's only shown an effectiveness in 32 people? What we need to do is to get to the end of the trial, collect all the safety data, at least a couple of months of data in 10,000, 20,000 patients, at least past the 90, 100, 120 stopping, then try and get that as a, hopefully it works, mark that as a win. I think in the earlier readouts, I really would love that pharma's just looked at it and moved on.
Does this kind of transparency obviate the any concerns that people might have about whether the FDA or other regulatory agencies might be rushing approvals?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think the two are mutually exclusive. In this case, what we've got is actually a view on what these trials have been designed to show. And so when you look at the Pfizer trial and compare it to the Moderna trial, Pfizer has put in several more potential interim stops than Moderna has, which, of course, give it a lot of shots on goal in trying getting the vaccine over the line earlier than you would like to see, so that you rather than waiting for the full thing. So that's all it's done. What it doesn't mean is whether if they did hit one of those earlier shots, it has no bearing on whether the FDA will accept it or not. I mean, that still remains a big question. The company might want to file it. The FDA hopefully will say no, go back and carry on.
In our last 30 seconds or so here, then, based on what information has been put out there by these companies, which ones do you see having a lead in terms of getting a safe and effective vaccine out there?
Yeah, it's like one of those little races that that you kind of watch with intensity and then find that someone overtakes somebody else by a week or two. We're talking matters of weeks and months. These are 30,000 patient trials completely driven by the rate of infections and the efficacy of the vaccine, which we don't know. So it really is difficult to call, but Pfizer does look like it's still a little ahead of everybody else.
All right, Sam, thanks again for being with us this morning. Looking forward to talking to you again as these trials go on. Sam Fazeli, Bloomberg Intelligence Senior Pharmaceutical Analyst, with us this morning on Bloomberg Daybreak. Morning of mixed action as far as equities go. S&P futures are higher now by just about 2 points. Dow futures are down 28. NASDAQ futures higher by 45 points. The 10-year Treasury up 2/32. Yield on the 10-year, 0.68%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. It's going to be partly sunny, breezy, and cooler today. The high only near 70 degrees, down to around 50 tonight. Mid-60s in the sunshine tomorrow and Sunday. 64 and mostly cloudy in New York.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are mixed this morning as we close out a week that's seen rapid developments on the proposed tie-up between TikTok and Oracle. Sources tell us ByteDance is gaining confidence that Beijing will okay its proposed alliance with Oracle. We get the very latest from Bloomberg International Editor Jody Schneider.
Secretary Mnuchin himself sent ByteDance a revised term sheet. And the company and Oracle apparently have accepted it. They basically described the changes as addressing some national security concerns about the transaction that President Trump and members of his administration had.
A final deal needs approval from both Chinese and U.S. regulators.
Well, meanwhile, the Trump administration's taking aim at another tech company out of China. Sources tell us the Trump administration is asking video game companies to provide information about data security protocols involving Tencent Holdings. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Those sources say the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., otherwise known as CFIUS, has sent letters to companies including Epic Games, Riot Games, and others to inquire about their security protocols in handling Americans' personal data. Tencent, the world's largest gaming company, owns Los Angeles-based Riot and has a 40% stake in Epic, which is the maker of the popular video game Fortnite. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Let's turn now to the coronavirus outbreak, where cases have now topped 30 million worldwide. Joining us live at the very latest is Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And good morning, Karen. Infections are showing no signs of slowing more than 6 months after a pandemic was declared. The global death toll is approaching 1 million. The U.S. tops the list with almost 200,000 fatalities. Goldman Sachs sent some traders home from its Manhattan headquarters after at least one employee tested positive for COVID-19. In the meantime, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden calls President Trump's response to the pandemic almost criminal. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures are higher, up 5 points. Dow futures down 15, and NASDAQ futures are up 63. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 0.68%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is gaining up about 0.33%, or 15 cents, at $41.12 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.7%, or $13, at $1,962.80 an ounce. The euro, 1.1863 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2990, and the yen, 104.43. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. Teachers and parents marched in Manhattan after Mayor Bill de Blasio says he will delay in-person learning for most of the city schools. In-person learning was supposed to start on Monday. Middle and high school students will learn remotely through October 1st. This parent is the mother of a second grader and a preteen.
The parents and the students are in between the mayor and the DOE, and I feel like we always are losing out.
Mayor de Blasio says that thousands more educators will be added.
We are doing this to make sure that all the standards we've set can be achieved. Talked about over those last weeks, what we gleaned from looking around the entire world, literally, the best practices from around the world. And that meant that we had to have social distancing throughout schools, cleaning constantly, face coverings on students and adults alike.
School Chancellor Richard Carranza said the city is giving our schools more staff, more time, and more support to have the strongest possible start to the most unprecedented school year. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy and Democratic lawmakers have agreed on a budget deal that will raise taxes on millionaires. The deal will push the tax rate to 10.75% from 8.97% for incomes above $1 million. It also includes a maximum $500 tax rebate for those with at least one child and income below $150,000. A former senior advisor to Vice President Mike Pence endorsed Democratic nominee Joe Biden and accused President Donald Trump of showing disregard for human life during the coronavirus pandemic. Pence dismissed the criticism by Olivia Troy, who worked as his Homeland Security, counterterrorism, and coronavirus advisor.
It reads to me like one more disgruntled employee who's left the White House and now has decided to play politics during an election year.
Troy said in a video for the group Republican Voters Against Trump that the president's biggest concern was how the pandemic would affect his reelection campaign. President Trump denounced school lessons that emphasized the impact of slavery and racism on American history. In a speech at the National Archives in Washington, Trump blamed left-wing indoctrination for nationwide protests against police brutality. Meanwhile, Joe Biden spoke during a CNN town hall event near Scranton, Pennsylvania, stressing his middle-class roots, saying it's a campaign between Scranton and Park Avenue. And according to a New York Times poll, Biden leads Trump by 9 points in Arizona. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's almost 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Burton Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. When the series and the home run onslaught was over, it was time to check the baseball record book. The Yankees hit 19 home runs in the three-game series with Toronto. That is three more than any team's ever done. Six or more home runs in three consecutive games. Also an MLB record. And last night's five home runs in one inning ties the all-time mark. Yankees beat the Blue Jays 10-7. They've won eight in a row. 43 runs in the series. The five home runs in the fourth came in a span of six batters. In fact, Brett Gardner, DJ LeMayu, and Luke Voit homered on three consecutive pitches, all from Toronto's Chase Anderson. He served up all five. Another comeback by the Mets. Three runs in the sixth inning, four more in the ninth. They beat the Phillies 10-6. The Islanders and Tampa Bay game six was tied 1-1 for 66 minutes. The Lightning scored in overtime. They won 2-1. They'll play Dallas for the Stanley Cup. Great playoff run for the Islanders, but they're headed home. The Miami Heat keep winning. Came from 17 down to top the Celtics 106-101. Miami leads the East Finals 2-0. NFL Cleveland over Cincinnati 35-30. Opening round of the U.S. Open at Wingfoot, a 65 for Justin Thomas. He had only one bogey at 5-under. Thomas leads by one over Patrick Reed, Thomas Peters, and 21-year-old American Matthew Wolf. Tiger Woods faded at the end, shot three over, so did Dustin Johnson. Phil Mickelson, now 50 years old, he's never won the Open. A runner-up six times, including 2006 at Wingfoot when he led on the final hole. Mickelson yesterday shot 79. Only one golfer had a worse score. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy and Democratic leaders have agreed on a budget deal that will raise taxes on millionaires. It pushes the tax rate to 10.75% for taxpayers with incomes over $1 million. It includes a maximum $500 tax rebate for those with at least one child and income below $150,000. A proposed New York City Council bill could deliver another blow to the struggling hotel industry. The measure would extend certain protections currently afforded to union workers to all hotel employees. After a property is sold, the new owner would be required to keep workers on the job for 90 days. New York City business associations have hired security guards this summer in the midst of a surge in violent crime and a decrease in arrests by police. Dow Jones reports three business improvement districts in Manhattan and a neighborhood group in Queens added private security guards. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WFLA in Orlando, I'm reporting that a bankruptcy judge has put the brakes on new bonuses for Hertz executives.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting shares of Carnival Cruise Lines fell after more cruise cancellations were announced.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on signs of limited progress in talks on the post-Brexit trade deal.
I'm Steve Podolsky, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about Goldman Sachs joining J.P. Morgan Chase, sending some Manhattan office employees home after at least one tested positive for COVID-19.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Ford has unveiled plans for a factory where it will build its electric pickup truck.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Coming up today, Wall Street could be in for a wild ride thanks to so-called quadruple witching. Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky has the story.
The quarterly expiration of stock index futures, stock index options, stock options, and single stock futures almost always produces a burst of trading volume. And although analysts note that it's become less common lately, there can also be some additional price volatility at the start and end of trading as investors unwind their positions. Today's quadruple witching comes with the market already on edge after this week's remarks from Fed Chairman Jerome Powell over an uncertain economic rebound without further stimulus. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thank you. And Stephen A. Cohen's Point 72 Asset Management has settled a dispute with a worker who claimed the firm discriminated against women. Lauren Bonner sued in 2018, alleging the company hired and promoted fewer women than men, paid her less than male counterparts with equal or fewer responsibilities, and had only one woman portfolio manager and one female managing director. Futures are mixed ahead of quadruple witching. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by SEI. Challenges highlight one's character, partnership, and resilience. At SEI, they act as one community with their clients. Go to SEIC.com/banks. Stocks in Europe are edging, well, little change today. Now they're edging higher. We're seeing improvement in Europe and U.S. stock index futures. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're up 5 points. Dow futures down 14. NASDAQ futures up 59. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32. 0.67% is the yield. Yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 13 cents at $41.10 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.7% or $12.90 at $19.62.80 an ounce. The euro 1.1859 against the dollar. British pound 1.2995 and the yen at 104.37. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Democrat Joe Biden is leading President Donald Trump by wide margins in Maine and Arizona, according to a New York Times and Siena College poll. Biden was ahead by 9 points in Arizona at 49% versus 40% for Trump. Biden ahead by 17 points in Maine at 55% compared to 38% for Trump. Hurricane Sally left some people on the Gulf Coast cut off by floodwaters until they could be rescued by teams and boats and high water vehicles. Crews were pulling people out of flooded areas near Pensacola, Florida, while Alabama National Guard troops helped people evacuate near Mobile Bay. In sports, the Lightning knocked out the Islanders in the NHL playoffs. In the NBA playoffs, the Celtics lost to the Heat. In baseball, the Yankees, Mets won, the Red Sox won along with the Giants. The Orioles lost a doubleheader to the Rays. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak on a Friday morning in which equities and futures appear to be in a bit of a holding pattern. Brian Levitt is with us now, senior investment strategist at Invesco. Great to have you on with us, Brian. Wonder whether the next catalyst could be quadruple witching happening today and whether that could see an outsized influence given all the moves we've had in tech stocks of late.
Yeah, I don't know that we should be thinking about this so much day to day. I mean, I think the next catalyst for this market is obviously moving through some of this policy uncertainty and, you know, getting a better understanding of how persistent this recovery could be as we start to reopen larger segments of this economy. So, you know, I think we're in a consolidation phase. We had a huge run up, a correction of some sort was to be expected. It's common. September tends to be those types of months, and we do have some policy uncertainty. But ultimately, I think this recovery continues to gather momentum into the next year, and I think equity should go higher from here. A little bit of churn was to be expected.
Well, let's dig a little deeper into what impact policy uncertainty could have. There is certainly a lot of that right now. Could that mean more volatility in the shorter term?
Well, sure, and that's what drives volatility in markets. I mean, we know that it happens. We know drawdowns happen every year. I think that a lot of investors don't, you know, necessarily, they think that it almost comes out of nowhere. It's almost always driven by policy uncertainty. And so in this instance, it's not from the Federal Reserve. There's no policy uncertainty there. We certainly have it on the fiscal side. I think by now, a lot of investors would have expected a deal coming out of Congress to provide support to the nation's businesses and households. And obviously, we have the uncertainty of the election. Now, if you look historically, there doesn't seem to be a ton of volatility necessarily in the days leading up to an election, but this one could be a little bit more uncertain. We may not know the results for a bit of time. So, you know, the last time we saw that Gore versus George W. Bush, we had a 5% decline in markets until we knew the president. So, you know, that's certainly in the realm of possibility. What I would advise investors is, though, to try and look through it. We know that we're in a period of uncertainty here, and that could create some volatility. But the question you really need to ask yourself is, does that change the trajectory of the economy? If you believe that the economy continues to recover, as I do, then the volatility that potentially exists in the near term as a result of policy uncertainty is worth looking through, and may create buying opportunities.
Where do you see those buying opportunities?
So long term, I continue to favor the true structural growth companies that are disrupting many parts of the market. And those have been the long term winners. But I think where we start to allocate or put cash to work is the more economically sensitive parts of the market. You know, and that's where you're seeing a bit of a move in value, outperforming growth stocks. So I would favor more economically sensitive stocks over the next, you know, call it couple of years. But ultimately, that recovery will give way to a slow expansion, which will be back favoring what I believe are the true growth companies, the secular growth stories.
Given the uncertainty that we do have, the possibility of a contested election, do you see this market testing new lows, or are we just in a range for a while here?
We've already had a pretty big move down in the tech stocks and NASDAQ. So, you know, you've already seen a good amount of the correction there. The other parts of the market, quite simply, hadn't run up anywhere near that. So I wouldn't expect, you know, meaningful downturns in markets. Like I said, you could have some volatility, you could have some drawdowns, but I'm not expecting anything extreme here. You know, again, the last time we went through this with Bush and Gore, and we didn't know the outcome for a while, stocks were down about 5%. That was also in the aftermath of a tech bubble and a recession. So maybe a little bit of a different scenario. But again, I think what's most important for investors is to try and see through this. We know there's some seasonal issues right now. We know that there's political uncertainty, policy uncertainty that creates volatility. But ask yourself the most important questions. Are we in a secular bull market? I believe that we are. And will this recovery continue to gain strength as we move into 2021? I suspect it will. And I think betting against those things is betting against medicine, science, human ingenuity. I'm not willing to make those bets, irrespective of what type of policy uncertainty we have in the near term.
All right, Brian, thanks for this. Good talking with you. Brian Levitt is Senior Investment Strategist at Invesco. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. And now for a legal story we're watching this morning, which is brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. The case, $900 million bank error that goes to trial in November. Citigroup is the administrator on a loan to Revlon and paid out more than $900 million of its own money to lenders who were expecting an interest payment on behalf of Revlon. The payment was 100 times larger than what they were expecting. Only one of the lenders repaid the money, and Citibank is suing the 11 other lenders to recover the money. For more on the case, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Anat Alon Beck, a professor at Case Western Reserve School of Law.
So what will be the main issue at trial?
The first, it's the issue of unjust enrichment. Is there a traditional unjust enrichment here? It's more complicated here because we do have a situation where we have a debtor and a creditor, and they gave money to Revlon as a loan, and they were supposed to get paid. The question is when. Citibank sent out the money by mistake, and you were not supposed to get the principal right now. We are only supposed to get the interest, and that's why there's unjust enrichment. What you're trying to do is you're trying to get paid over the other creditors. There's other creditors here, right? There's a line of creditors. So all the creditors are trying to get paid. Why would you get paid before everybody else?
The creditors are asking the judge to allow them to present testimony from an expert in the corporate loan market. They said the expert would opine on how lenders in the market and their managers would respond to the receipt of wires such as those at issue in the case. What are they trying to do here?
They're trying to show that for them to receive something like that might be customary under other circumstances, to show that they are not acting in bad faith, that they shouldn't be perceived that way by wanting to keep the money because the money is owed to them, because what the judge is going to use is the reasonable person objective. So that other institutions in their shoes, other reasonable people also assume that they're being paid for what they're owed, and what would they do in situations like this? And that's very important.
How much advantage does it give the lenders that they have the money in hand?
The fact that the creditors are now in possession of the money, that puts them in a powerful position because they can negotiate. They're holding the money. They can say, no, wait a minute. We're holding it, we're not giving it back, or how much are we willing to give back, if at all? So the other parties have to basically beg them for it. Citibank, Revlon, they're trying to mitigate their mistakes.
And that's Case Western Reserve School of Law professor Anat Alon Beck speaking to Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures are up 2 points, Dow futures down 33, NASDAQ futures up 46, the DAX in Germany's up 0.2%, 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 0.67%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.25% or 11 cents at $41.08 a barrel, and COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $12.40 at $19.62.40 an ounce. The euro, 1.1857 against the dollar. And our top stories are straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.